Welcome back to Chairshot NFL. You can follow us at Chairshot NFL. You can follow me at PC Tony. You can follow this other guy over here at IWC War Chief.
It's accurate.
I'm PC Tony. The other guy is Andrew Belaz. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. How are you?
I'm better. I had COVID, everybody. You already know that.
You
I told
don't
everybody.
Have to do the transparency.
I already told everybody I'm bandwagon nerds.
Oh, okay.
So
you could have been out on assignment or something like that, or getting like your anal bleaching done this year. I don't know. Whatever you were gonna do.
Everybody's taken that cue from me over the years of just saying out on assignment, right? You know, like.
Yeah.
Besides Platt, who, as you reminded, would always come up with some fun radical thing that you or I were out doing when we weren't around.
I had a really clean asshole, though, every time I was out, though.
Man.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I bleached more than Kim Kardashian.
If I had a spoon, let me tell you.
That would be a hell of a title for the episode if you actually went with fun titles.
I did already this week.
I mean, for this show.
Yep.
You said this week?
Yeah.
You didn't even put the show up yet. Oh, my God. Did you think of one ahead of time?
I did.
Are we in a time paradox?
Yeah. I already got the title. It's kind of boring.
Oh.
It's kind of cheeky. It's kind of like a newspaper headline kind of thing.
Oh, that's fine, too. Okay.
Yeah. It'll be the first thing we talk about today. Because, I mean, the biggest news of the weekend after the Jets lose in London.
Are we going to toss our Salah?
To the...
Please tell me you went somewhere around.
Boy, I could change the title to that. Tossing Salah.
There we go.
I put.
Wait, what the hell did you have? I thought that was exactly where your head went. I thought
tossing
we were on like the
Salah. Salah. It's Robert Salah, right?
I guess so. I don't really know.
I just use
nobody pronounces it the same way.
Well, if you're listening, you already know the title, and it's not going to be tossing Salah. I'm not going there.
Why not? It should be. That's
no,
good.
It's so long, Salah.
I like tossing Salah more.
I know
I
you
really
do.
Do.
I know you do. I know you
as
do.
As an activity and as a title, just saying.
Okay.
You know?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, Jerry.
Hey, you know? That's been lyrics and songs for like the last 15 years now. You know, we all remember eating booty like groceries. So, come on.
That's true. Yeah, that is there. That is there. But the drama around it. you know, like what if you believe whether you believe what you hear or not? No one, I guess, knows 100% for sure. But what we do think we know for sure is that they called security to have them escorted out of the building.
That's normal.
Salah
You've had people quit at your job before, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
Or get fired.
So, but here's the thing about what I've heard about the breakdown of how it happened. Salah came in to the building and decided to take play-calling duties on the offensive side away from Hackett. And gave him to, I forget the other guy's name, Greg Norman or something like that? Irrelevant. 5 minutes
Correct.
Later, Woody Johnson was in his office firing him and having security escorting him out, not allowing him to talk to the players or do anything, just taking him out of the building. So it's interesting. They've come out with a statement that Rodgers had nothing to do with it. Rodgers was on Pat Mac, said, I have nothing to do with it. I like Salah. What is your take on all of this, from the drama to a necessary firing to what – is this going to change anything for the Jets this year? And who's their head? Have they even announced their new head coach yet?
Ulbrich is going to be the new head, the interim head coach.
And he was
the old DC.
Their old DC?
Yeah, Ulbrich.
Their current DC.
Well, he's the interim head coach now. So
okay, gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah. And I watched the Pat Mac interview. I saw Woody's, you know, little announcement. I think from Woody's announcement, he's feeling his own kind of pressure, because if you look at their win-loss record since he owned the team, it's the worst in the NFL. Like, they're a joke. They get nothing done. They haven't had a home playoff game in 20-something years. Like, I think he is looking at this team, and he expected to be 4-1-5-0. He expected big things, and the fact that he didn't get it and had to deal with the Zach Wilson years and Salah and Rodgers kind of stepping on each other when it came to how they were handling press conferences and some of the commentary with what was wrong with the offense or what was wrong with the team or things weren't really gelling here or there. I think Woody just decided to put all his eggs in the basket of fuck you, we should be winning now, and you're not helping this, so go away.
I think that's pretty easy to believe that, because the fact that Salah kind of put his foot in his mouth and fucked up when he talked about the cadence thing and
Correct,
some controversy there, right? Like, instead of going, yeah, I need to do a better job as a head coach of making sure we're more disciplined, right? Not just saying, well, maybe we shouldn't do it. Maybe we should take away one of the best weapons, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Do you know he's thrown, I don't know, if you've heard the stat and you know the number, then don't guess.
18?
I think it's 17.
I thought 18 was the one where you threw it to, like, Lazard or Wilson this year. But I know exactly what you're talking about. The false start?
Yes.
Touchdowns, basically?
Yes.
Yes.
Over his
the free plays.
Over his career, he's thrown 17 or 18 touchdowns on free plays.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
And then for
and
a coach
I'm pretty
to come
sure
out,
Aaron Rodgers doesn't disagree with you,
right?
He still does it.
Which is insanity to say that we're not going to use that offensive weapon. You know what I mean?
It's also insane to blame the cadence for why you couldn't score any more than 9 fucking points in a game.
No, but I don't know necessarily. I think he was more or less talking about the penalties accepted from the offensive line, the false.
But it's still 9 points. That's still fucking embarrassing.
Oh sure.
Like, they should have been able to find 2 points somewhere else.
Because
all he needed was 2.
Yeah. I actually watched a lot of the Jets-Vikings game Sunday just because there was nothing else on at 8:30 in the morning.
Or you're a masochist. It's one or the other.
Well, and I was getting some other stuff, and I was had it on in the background, and then I was watching. And the Jets' offense, it looks like the Packers' offense used to be the year or two before they fired Mike McCarthy, where everything's the same. It's all vanilla. It's all the same play calling, every situation. It's predictable. And unless guys run perfect routes, and Rodgers is not even in great form right now either. He could have had Garrett Wilson for a touchdown at the end of that game. But yeah, anyway, I don't know. I don't see them making the playoffs regardless. They're going to really have to retool. And where they need to retool is the offensive line, because they can't run the ball either.
I agree with you about that the line is a little more suspect than it should be, but that division doesn't look good right now.
No.
The Dolphins are on life support.
They're
like,
bad.
They only won that game last week because they were playing a team that also sucks, which is also in their division. So, like, when you got the Patriots and the Dolphins, which are garbage, they're speed bumps now, and the Bills are, like, a Jekyll and Hyde team, like, most of us, I think, expected. Like, they started off hotter than I thought they would have, but now they've kind of evened out to where I thought they'd be, where they're just maybe a little above average, but still not that good. And you can easily win that. Like, the game this week is for the lead in the division, and that is going to be a 3-3 team, assuming the Jets win. You know what I mean? So, like, that division's not good. The Jets could easily make the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that here in about an hour.
I was more just going with the playoff.
No, I know, because I really wanted to comment on the game, but I'm like, okay, I basically was talking to myself out loud by talking to you.
Gotcha.
Like, I wanted to comment on the upcoming game, but it's the last game we're going to talk about.
That last interception Rodgers threw in the London game was all on him. That should have been a back shoulder throw, and it was inside. It was bad.
Right.
It was low.
It was like the second to last play that he had, though. So it's like he's going for it. He missed it. What are you going to do? I'm not saying the throw wasn't bad. I'm not questioning the decision to throw the ball there.
I think it was a couple before that Garrett Wilson just completely either ran the route wrong or, like, stopped on, like, a curl. Or maybe it was supposed to be kind of like a sluggo or, like, a curl go or something like that. And he just took a beat too long, and then Rodgers overthrew him. And that's been the story of this year.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson and him just can't get on the same fucking page.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. And I think that's part of the problem of their offense being vanilla, is because the weapons don't know what the fuck is going on.
Right. I mean,
except for Lazard.
When you think of Rodgers' greatest success as a quarterback with another receiver, you have two instances, and one's Jordy Nelson and the other one's Devontae Freeman, who both, like, all-time greats at their positions during the course of their
peak. I was
going to
say Greg Jennings or Devontae Adams.
Jordy Nelson is better than both of them, honestly, in my opinion.
Well, he is, but he was also a different kind. He wasn't an extra. He was more like a slot guy.
Who?
Jordy. Jordy could
No.
run some goes and stuff like that, but he was a little more of a dirty play, like, and dirty as in getting in between tackles and in between
No,
numbers.
I don't think so. You're thinking more of Donald Driver.
Oh no, he was slow. That's why he was a slot guy. Because he was old when Rodgers got him. He was Brett Favre's buddy.
At that point, yeah. But I'm just saying, I don't know necessarily that the transition I'm trying to make here is, do you think Davante Adams being traded to the Jets would help?
No. I think, okay, let me put it this way. I don't understand why Devontae, if all the reports are true and it's not just all just made up bullshit just to propagate some kind of storyline, that he wanted the Saints or the Jets, because that's insane. Like, I don't care if he wants to go play with his buddies. Like, why wouldn't you fucking call up the Chiefs and be like, I get it, it's in the same division, blah blah, it's frowned upon. But if the Chiefs go, here, we'll give you a 2 this year, a conditional 2 next year, and we'll cover all of his cost, you think the Raiders aren't going to be okay with that? You think fucking Mark Davis and being Mr. fucking cash light, no liquidity, fucking the most cash poor fucking franchise in the NFL isn't going to jump at the fact of, oh, the Chiefs are willing to overpay a little bit just because they're looking to three-peat and Devontae would help them, and we know how Devontae plays, so fuck it, we can cover him, okay? We ain't going nowhere.
I want the Chiefs to trade for Tyreek Hill. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
Okay, they're not going to trade for him back.
That'd be
Especially
great.
not when
Wouldn't that be
Tyreek did the
awesome?
shade of
Oh, it doesn't
Tua is
matter. Who
better or more
cares?
accurate than Patrick.
Oh, yeah,
Oh.
fuck it. That's something you say to pump up your new quarterback. That's no hard feelings. Come on. Kareem Hunt is back. Why not bring back Tyreek Hill?
Because Patrick Mahomes won championships with fucking Tony and fucking nope, the nobody fucking squad who can't fucking catch and gets cut from everywhere else. He doesn't need Tyreek Hill. Fuck him.
Listen, if who's the guy who had the hand, ball go through his hands and the big fat guy caught it and ran it for the Saints? You didn't see that play?
I did not see that play, no.
Oh my goodness, number 50 from the Saints. I remember that is who that was. It's hilarious. Go back and watch his return.
Gonna have to find that. Okay.
Oh, Smith-Schuster. Like he had 7 for
Oh,
one.
he had such a big fucking game, and he missed that one though. Okay.
Yeah, it was right in the end zone too. But what are you gonna do?
I mean,
He's gonna
the
have to be your
Bucs had a
number one
wide open
now.
shot in the fucking end zone too to fucking, what, I think it was Trey Palmer or something like that, and his dumbass just fucking drops it wide open.
You know what? This is a perfect segue into the good plays of the week.
Oh,
But
the
before we
good
do that, we're
plays.
gonna take our only commercial of the day here on the Chair Shot side. You're listening to ChairShot NFL right here on ChairShot Radio Network with Andrew Belaz and PC Tunney, a part of the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/theChairShot. Pick yourself up a ChairShot t-shirt. It can be a tank top. It can be long sleeve. It can even be a hoodie. Get it in soft style. Feel really good on your nipples. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/theChairShot.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Choose your weapon.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
W gets me every time.
He's classic, but not for the right reasons.
He
I, at
still
first,
he
I thought
did
you invented a new
he
segment before this when you said happy plays or whatever it is. And I'm like, I was expecting like a parody of the Happy Days theme song.
Oh,
Like Sunday, Monday,
Monday,
happy
happy
days.
days.
Thursday's not always happy plays.
Why can't they flex better games to Monday night?
Right. There we go.
This
Happy
is the
plays.
NFL every week. Oh, baby. All right. All right. For some reason, when it's me and you and or Platt's around, it's always singing involved. That's okay, though. That's okay. Weapon of the week. I will go first because you are very... how should we put this?
Say it however you want.
You want to make sure we have two different picks.
I do. You can't run a poll with one option. And that part of the concept of this was engagement.
It'd be a lot easier for me to predict the winner.
Okay, fine, fair. But if we didn't have a bye week that last week, I probably would have had Derrick Henry be my back-to-back for the first back-to-back weapon. Because he had 199 yards. That was a fucking big game for him.
Yeah, who had a good week that week? I don't remember. I had COVID. Jerk.
Okay. COVID won you that week for you. Okay, I see how that works. He had a really big week. What can I say?
knocked out damn near 50% of the Chair Shot Radio Network lineup. Let me tell you. We had a slow week last week with me being gone. All right.
The whole thing fucking comes down. Fucking
hell. What are you going to do? All right. Jamar Chase, 10 catches, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns. Quite the week catching the ball. The dude is a stud.
That's my honorable mention, yes.
Kirk Cousins, though, 509 yards and 4 passing touchdowns in an overtime victory.
And 72% completion percentage, too. Don't forget that.
I mean, 500 yards passing. That's. I mean, I think 560-something is the record.
567 in its Norm Van Brocklin, or is 566? But 560. I know it's Norm Van Brocklin. I just forget exactly.
But I can't give it to either.
Uh-huh.
I need to come up with some home cooking for this one, because no one ever in the history of the NFL has had an interception in every single one of their first five games with the team. Xavier McKinney, 5 picks in 5 games, also had a fumble recovery. He's my weapon of the week.
That is a valid one. You know, it's a little homerish.
NFL history.
I appreciate.
NFL history, though. True story. Never been done before, ever. Ever. Ever.
You are correct. Just kind of like Jaden Daniels being the first quarterback in the history of ever to do what he's done, which was, what, 1,000 yards and like 300 rushing yards. And you have a finger up, go. Say something.
Jaden Daniels, keep up the good work and don't stop climbing that mountain, though. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
Curious how you see his week coming up, because that's a pretty big game that they got coming up this week.
Who do they got?
They got the Ravens.
Well, the Ravens just gave up 38 points to whoever the fuck they just played, so I ain't too worried about
the Bengals.
It. Yeah,
God, you your short term memory is.
I had COVID.
Didn't know that came with a side effect of CTE, though. What the fuck is going on? Is that like the entree and the appetizer? Like, yes, I
it's funny.
COVID with a little CTE on the side.
It's
funny.
It's funny you say that, because the same week I had COVID, I was also Antonio Brown's cracker of the week. You're welcome. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Yeah, yeah. So, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, just like Meatloaf said, and I have Big Kirko as one of my nominations. Mm-hmm. Jamar Chase was my honorable mention because, the Bengals lost, and losers can't be weapons to me. So that's kind of how that one works.
Wow, ouch, kibibbles.
But you know, the Chase thing leads me to another talking point, which, if I was actually a Bengals fan, I would be somehow more upset, more angry. But no, I'm still pretty fucking angry at watching fucking Zach Taylor's fucking calls in overtime after that fucking fumble recovery. What in the ever-loving fuck is that guy doing? I don't understand. You had 193 fucking yards on Jamar Chase. Burrow was fucking laying it up. And you fucking play pussy ball. You fucking run the ball fucking 3 times to try to hope and pray on a fucking botched-ass abortion of a fucking field goal. And then what the fuck are you fucking doing? Almost. He needs to be fired. He needs to be dripped in oil and fucking just set a light into the fucking ocean. He shouldn't have a fucking job after. He should have been fired this week, not Salah.
You have your dumbass. You have your dumbass coach of the week nomination there. Mine is McDermott for throwing the ball three times in a row from inside his own five.
That was dumb. Just watching that happen, I'm like, they were both terrible fucking play. Terrible right, play calling.
Do we have to have
terrible usage of?
Should we add? Should we add a segment to this?
We should just add the dumbass of the week too. We should add this to a poll too.
Weapon of the week. Weapon of the week and dumbass of the week.
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
It's like ups and downs because these coaches definitely bring the downs. If you know what the fuck I'm saying, Jesus fucking Christ, this is the dumbest fucking thing. Like, bad play calls, pussy play. Like, I don't even know why the fuck he's just like, no, we're going to bank everything on a 59-yard fucking field goal. Idiot fucking bullshit. But with that said, I'm going to also not pick Big Kirko just because of the fact that the Bucs didn't really have much of a defense left. They were all hurt. 509 yards on that defense isn't really saying a whole hell of a lot. I expected the Falcons to win anyway because they need to start putting some wins together. And even though the Bucs are my team, like, I still have that Falcons pick from week zero. So I still have to manifest that. So the Falcons needed this game. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the result. But my weapon of the week, since we like to go DBs this week, apparently, I'm picking Patrick Surtain II.
Two picks. That is a stud.
Two picks, one big 100 fucking yard pick six return. And I think it was, you know, the coach that said it. And I agree that, you know, that was like a 10-point play. Because at minimum, they'll get a field goal. So he took 3 points off the board for them, added 7 points, quote unquote, to theirs. And it was fucking great. He fucking picked off Gardner Minshew so hard, bitch got benched. Like, that was fucking great. Like, holy crap. He ended the man's season. Look at that. That's a hell of a pick. So that's why he's my weapon of the week.
I like it. That's a great pick. He is probably the best corner in the league right now, I would say. Would you?
Not really arguing it, because I'm trying to think who would I even put in that upper echelon. Because
I think he's the only guy in the league right now that, like, they kind of game plan away from his side. Unless you got an unbelievably elite receiver, and there's probably, like, four or five of those right now that have a quarterback that can, you know, make them elite, because Hill's no longer that guy. Unfortunately, sincerely, my fantasy football team.
Yeah. I feel like Sauce has potential, but Sauce has just had a bunch of bad calls against him lately, and it's just the Jets have just been messy last few weeks, so I think it's hard to gauge him. But yeah, Surtain is definitely the best corner in the game right now.
All right, folks. Well, weapons of the week. Andrew has Patrick Surtain the second. I have Xavier McKinney. We go double defense this week. Double defensive backs.
Yeah.
Two young defensive stars.
Yeah, that's true. Because what, Surtain's only been in the league, what, 3 or 4 years? Did he just get a second contract?
They gotta be both 25 or under. I know McKinney's 24. So, and then dumbass of the week, Zach Taylor for Andrew. And Sean McDermott for
that was
P.
Just terrible play calling.
PC.
The fucking defense bails out the fucking Bengals, and then the Bengals just bungle it. Like, what the fuck? Like, he needs to get fired.
Should we see where the rest of the NFL stacks up, Andrew?
Sure.
I knew you were gonna do that. You son of a bitch.
You know, this is the wonderful power ranking section where I just have to always let the music play fully, just because it's more funny that way.
Yeah. No idea why PC Tony took the time to even fade that one out for him.
I mean, I did appreciate that this time they had a fade. Like, that was
every time it's had a fade every time. You son of a bitch.
You know, fades don't work on the goal line. They don't really work this way either. What can I say? But, you know, let's start at the bottom, because the whole Zach Taylor talk and that play calling really pissed me off. So,
welcome to Zach Taylor talk.
Yeah. So this is obviously a slight overreaction because I'm that mad at his calls. But
oh,
I have the Bengals at 32nd.
I don't even have – no. They're them last in the league.
I have them last. That was loser fucking play calling.
They're not
that
even
loser
a bottom.
Mentality.
They're not a bottom five.
He deserves
team.
To lose for the rest of the year.
You're just okay. I'm not Chris. I'm not biting on this bait here for this one. That's fine. If you want to be mad, you be mad. But in
they're
our
1-4. They're definitely in the bottom five.
In our heart of hearts,
they're in the bottom five. In our heart of hearts,
truth,
regardless.
Truth serum ingested. You will agree with me that they're definitely not a bottom five team in the NFL.
They're 1-4. They play like a bunch of fucking idiots, and they can't fucking
pick
a fucking play call out of their ass to save their life.
I think these teams that I have in my bottom five,
and they have no defense,
easily are worse than the Bengals. But that's fine. At 32nd, I have. Uh-huh. Carolina Panthers, and we don't really even need to talk about why. The greatest thing in the world happened, the fact that the Panthers lost.
Found
to,
a win?
They lost to the Bears, to the draft pick they traded away, Caleb Williams, so they could have the number one draft pick the year before, who actually got into the game because he's the backup and they were getting blown out. How's that one for you? That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. I don't disagree with you there.
Oh, DJ Moore, thanks for checking in this year. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
Did you actually start him?
I did.
Okay, good. That was a good call from you.
Yeah, I finished 5-4 last week, or 6-3 or 5-4 last week. But I had a perfect lineup, which means everybody I could start was right.
Was the highest, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's good. So my 31, which, okay, objectively, they're what I think is the worst team in the league, but the Bengals bungled that so fucking hard. I don't want to see Zach Taylor in a win column for the rest of the fucking year.
Okay, so you just admitted that at very least you don't believe they're 32. So go ahead.
I still believe they're bottom five team, but I don't believe they're 32nd. But the 32nd
but
team is the Browns.
The 31st team?
Yeah. The 31st team is the Browns.
You got the
Browns. Ohio is the bottom of the barrel.
That's funny that you're doing that. I like that. I do not. I have the Browns in my bottom five, but I have Tennessee at 31.
See, I couldn't move Tennessee because they had a bye week last week, and last week's power rankings, if we didn't have a bye week, I would have had them at 30th because they did barely scrape that win together. And you know my rule on bye weeks is if it's a bye week, I don't move you because you can't get fired on your day off.
Unfortunately.
You can't, though!
Was Salah, was it his day off?
No, it was technically their first day back in because they have a Monday night game, so technically Tuesday was their Monday.
Okay, I guess your theory holds water.
You know I'm right! That's why you just decided to sigh and move forward instead of argue it.
How long have we been working together?
Too long, apparently.
All right, I'll go first here. 30th, Jacksonville.
I had them at 28th because they've been scrappy.
Yeah, but Frank, I think, not Frank Reich, Doug Peterson, this is it for him this year. They're definitely not making the playoffs. He is done coaching this football team. This is the end of his tenure. He'll finish the season. They'll probably go somewhere between 4 to 6 wins. Maybe they kind of, you know, the thing that would make it really crazy is if, like, they won their last five games and got to, like, 7-10 and, you know, then, mm-hmm. you know, then they'd have to maybe bring him back. But I just don't see that happening for this team.
I mean, I think Doug Peterson would win out anyway. Like, I don't necessarily think the cons are going to run him out of town. But, like, he had the 1 year to kind of turn Sunshine around. And then Sunshine hasn't moved forward since that. So I'm like, and they paid him so goddamn much money. They really need to find something to figure that out.
Yeah.
So
I think that's more of a general manager problem. And more of a team building kind of organization.
It's also the problem with the Browns. Look at the Deshaun Watson situation.
Organizational
that GM
makeup
needs to be fired.
An organizational makeup problem, you know. And I'm talking from as a Packers fan, who look at what they've done since Ron Wolf traded for Favre in 1992, or was it one? They've done nothing but make sure that they have draft picks, and they have young players, and they stay relevant. Now, I know we've only won two championships, but at some point, you need to start taking blueprints from teams that have sustained success for decades and maybe hit that blueprint up because, man, there's a couple teams, more than a couple teams in the league that have a big problem, and Jacksonville's one of them.
And there's more than a couple teams that would kill to have that issue of 30 years and only two Super Bowls.
Right.
And,
oh, exactly.
You know,
right, exactly.
But like 80% fucking playoff, you know, appearances and three Super Bowl appearances, but two wins, right? Because it was two appearances for Favre and one for Rodgers so far.
Yep.
Yeah.
But countless champion NFC championship games too, you know what I mean? Like tons of playoffs, division championships. But that's what happens, I guess, when you have three decades of Hall of Fame quarterbacking.
True. So, like I said, people would kill for the Packers track record. And the Jaguars are definitely one of them. But I have them a little higher than 30th just because they've been scrappy all year. They finally got a win. Good for them. They don't look good, don't get me wrong. But, like, a lot of teams this year have been kind of iffy.
Yeah, so. Well, they beat Indy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, who somehow snuck out of the bottom five here for me. But anyway, who did you have at 30?
The Titans, because it was their bye week, and I had them
that's
on
right,
there last
right.
week.
29, I got New England.
Me too! Look,
okay,
me
hey! Alright.
Boring.
When we agree, it's boring. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, they're starting Drake May this week, so that proves how bad they've been.
That's fine, though. That's fine. I like the fact that they knew they weren't going to be great and let him kind of marinate for a little bit. Let him kind of take it in, you know? We'll see what happens. Cleveland. I told you they're in my bottom five. I got them at 28.
Why are you being so nice to Cleveland? Have you seen those games? Did you see Deshaun Watson, like, quit on the team?
Yeah, but I think Cleveland's better than the four teams I have behind them.
So, by that definition, do you just mean that Nick Chubb is better than the four teams behind Cleveland?
Is he even back yet?
Because when Nick Chubb starts playing... Because isn't he supposed to be back this week or next week or something like that?
I don't know. I wouldn't rush him back now.
He's supposed to come back soon.
I wouldn't rush him back, no. I'd let him sit for even longer. You're definitely not making the playoffs. You're 1-4.
Oh, well, especially with how shitty the team is. True, yeah, but...
wonder if Amari Cooper gets traded. He could be a problem solver for Kansas City, that's for sure. Sheesh.
Cooper's not that same type of... I mean, I guess they got Schuster sort of for the speed, maybe. At least Cooper has hands.
The thing about...
that could be interesting.
Here's the thing about Mahomes, though. He needs intelligent receivers, not necessarily the quickest fucking guy ever. Because he extends so many plays, right? He's really one of the biggest exceptions to the entire NFL where he doesn't have to get rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds to be successful.
I mean, yeah, because he'll roll out, he'll make something happen, and then you got Kelce, he'll move around and get himself open. Or okay, it's mostly just Kelce right now. But it used to be a litany of other people kind of understood he moved, you moved.
Right.
When you move, I move, just like that. You know what I mean? But it's not like that anymore. So Cooper would be okay, I guess. I don't really see the Chiefs wanting to give the Browns any kind of picks.
You put your hand up on my hip when I dip, you
and
dip,
a dip
we
you
dip.
Dip, we dip.
Put your hand up on my hip when I dip, you dip, we dip. And when I break the pocket, you move left, move right, move left. No? I don't know.
Damn right.
All right. Okay.
So you understand it?
Fair enough. Those are the bottom feeders. Yeah. They're bad.
Yeah. But fuck the Bengals still, man.
Okay.
Fuck the Bengals so hard.
All right, I will get the dumbass of the week up. Don't worry.
That's still just watching that pissed me off to no end, and I don't even like the Bengals like that.
I'm sorry. You really
I know.
You really need to. Good thing we have this therapy session for you. Hopefully you can get around.
Right?
Hopefully you can get around with the rest of your life after the show.
That's so sad. I'm so just broken up. I'm glad that you decided to invest in the couch for this as well.
Should we move on to the happier part of the league to make raise your spirits?
I suppose. I suppose. All so right. Since you normally just do the top five, bottom five,
I do.
I'll just blitz through my. Oh, did you do 10?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I have a tie at five though. So.
Okay, so it's like six.
Yeah,
so
it is six. It's not even like six. It is six.
But you still said it's a tie for five.
Yeah, I haven't tied though. But there's six teams.
I get you. I understand how math works.
Because the next team in line would be seventh. They wouldn't be sixth.
That is how ties work. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
But you're just ignoring the number six. So you got like five and five and a half. That's not even six then.
No, they're both five. They're tied.
Oh, see, that's even worse.
They're tied.
That's very, very straddling the fence.
I don't.
And then so close to time to vote. How could you be such like a middle of the pack fucking, fence sitter? How dare you?
Not. I am completely decided on who I am voting for. I can tell you that 100%. I know who I'm voting for.
Okay. Well, to not deviate into other things that we don't have any reason to really talk about.
No, God, no. On any show on this entire network.
Agreed.
And I'm I'm in charge of that, so I can say that.
I don't disagree with you.
I wasn't saying for you. I'm saying for everybody else.
Oh, okay.
You
number 10 is my biggest move up of the week.
Oh.
And it's more me being nice to this team, which... I'm not 100% sure if I'm sold that they're 10th, but they've done enough things the last couple weeks to at least pique my interest, and their defense has looked really well. The Broncos. Broncos moved up 12 spots.
I was going to pick up Bo Nix in my fantasy football league because at some point, well, the nice thing is Jaden Daniels doesn't have a bye till week 14.
Oh, that is really nice.
Yeah, but the bad thing about it is it's like the last week of our regular season, so... That could hurt. So I'm like, at some point here, I need to grab a quarterback. I don't want to wait till the end of it. And I'm like, oh, you know what? No one picked up Bo Nix on waiver wire. Guess what week Bo Nix has a bye?
The 14th?
Yeah. Fuck you, NFL. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
He said the line. Okay. I understand that. But yeah, so the Broncos, I'm giving a little bit of flowers to, like the whole, like, I see you. I see what you're doing. You look like a competent team. Your defense looks a lot better than your offense, but you're playing complementary enough football to get the wins, and that's all that really matters. Ninth, I have the Buccaneers.
They look like they're starting to look more and more like a Sean Payton football team. Are they not?
They are. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, offense is still a little lighter than I would expect from a Sean Payton team, but... At least that they're starting to kind of resemble one.
Hey, three and
the
two.
Bucks I have at ninth because the Bucks are banged up, but they still look okay. I don't think that they're bad. I didn't think they would be bad this year. I didn't think they're as good as last year, but they're kind of where I expect them to be, kind of like middle of the top half, maybe a little better than that right now. So they're trending a little up, but somewhere between like 9th and 14th is where I expect that team to be for the next couple weeks. Cowboys, I have at 8th, even though Dak Prescott also made history. Last week was a history-making week because he was the first quarterback in the history of the NFL to throw two interceptions on different days in the same game. So, look at that.
That 90-minute storm delay, huh? There you go.
Uh-huh. It's fantastic. No one else has done that before. And they still won the game. So that's why I had to bring him up to 8th.
Could have been your weapon of the week. He won.
Could have been, but, And the Ravens I have at 7th, because even though they had no reason winning that game, they've looked a lot better. They've been feeding Derrick Henry more. So look at that. When you give the ball to the guy that you should have fucking been giving the ball to in the beginning, you win.
They're starting to smell like a really elite-level NFL team again.
I wouldn't go that far. They still look real choky. Things are still too close for elite level for me. They almost choked away the Cowboys game. They should have lost that game against the Bengals. They look competent now, as unlike the first 2 weeks. I'm not sold on them yet, but they're at least finding ways to win. It's impressive.
Okay.
And sixth, I have the Captain Kirk-led Falcons because they haven't looked great, but they've stayed in games, and Captain Kirk has figured it out at least three times so far, so let's see if that continues.
Yeah, you know, the thing about the Falcons is they got a loss to the Steelers their first game, so you have a team that has, like, possibly the most synergy in the entire league over time in having Mike Tomlin as their head coach and continuity to a team in Atlanta who is trying to just build something new here, kind of a new kind of concept, right? You beat the Eagles. You lose to the Chiefs. Not a big mark against you in a game that is less than a touchdown.
In a game you should have won because that fucking no call in the fucking end zone.
But most importantly, your next two games, you go out and you win. Not only at home, but in division. You win. You take care of those games. Yeah, I mean, Atlanta's going to get scarier and scarier by the week here, I think. Cause, like,
I agree.
It's just what I see.
I agree. The Falcons are looking like there's a reason why I had them as my week zero Super Bowl pick. So I'm glad that they're starting to actually come into form and not making me look psychotic anymore. So my number five, you know, courtesy of your fantasy football team, is the Commies.
Okay.
The Jaden Daniels team.
Okay.
Because that team has been consistent. Jaden Daniels has been putting up numbers. He's looked good. The whole team has just looked like a good team. Even if they're just scoring field goals, like, I don't hate anything they do. Could they do things a little better here or there? Of course. But, like, they're not making egregious errors. Jaden Daniels isn't really playing like a rookie. He's pretty consistent. Like, I'm not mad at that team.
No, they have weapons, too. Like, they have two really good running backs in Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler. You have a stud receiver in Terry McLaurin.
Well, he doesn't always get involved. That's the only reason why I didn't really bring their weapons in.
Yeah, but now over the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's had over 100 yards receiving or close to, so they're starting to use him more. I think they have Zach Ertz, right? So now while he's not the same guy he used to be, he's still a guy that we talked about when plays break down. He's smart. He knows where to go. He catches the ball. But Jaden Daniels, man, dude is fucking dude. Big time. Yeah. I do not. I have them at four. So let me tell you who I have tied for fifth.
Yeah, go for it.
I have the Detroit Lions and Baltimore Ravens tied for fifth. Couldn't decipher between the two at this current
moment
in time.
You really popped the Ravens up that high.
I don't think I ever popped the Ravens that low. And I think if I did a full list every week, which I really need to just fucking do because it wouldn't take me that much longer than it does to already get ready.
It really doesn't. Yeah,
I know. Because really you just look at it and go, oh, you're better than you. And then, oh, but yep, I know. You'd be surprised at the teams I probably still have in the top 10 that might not even have a winning record.
Okay. Does that mean you have the 49ers in the top 10 still? Are you still holding on to hope like you did last year?
I don't know if I would this week right now, but I might. That's kind of the direction I meant that like in. But that kind of
happens.
Let
me tell you this. I have them at 14th. Do you think that's fair, or do you think that's too low?
I don't know, because I really would have to go in and look at how I would do it. Because, you know, I really value my own opinion.
I know you do, which is why the number could have bothered you know what I mean?
No, I don't think. I think that could be close to where I would have them. I don't think they'd be in the top 10.
Okay.
Maybe they would be.
I'm just checking.
I don't know.
Because, you know, they did piss away a 10-point lead to the Cardinals.
I hope the Cardinals hope they lose.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Who's this weekend? We'll get there.
Still, though, the Niners losing games they shouldn't lose.
Yeah, but they're the
sloppy
team.
Ways.
It's like the same thing as last year, though. They have a lot. They're missing a lot of pieces.
So a lot of teams are banged up. Well, you can't make that excuse. Everybody's got to step up. Everybody's a professional. They get paid. The pieces, do they not all get millions of dollars to fucking play football?
Not my point. The pieces the Niners are missing are a lot better than a lot of pieces any other teams have around
the
league.
Do they not
league.
All get paid exorbitant amount of money to be play a fucking children's game?
That's not my point. My point is...
question. Does round circle go round hole or is it square?
Hey, I'll got a question for you then.
Okay.
It's a baseball question.
I like chocolate milk.
The ball is round, right?
Uh-huh.
The bat's round, right?
It's cylindrical, but yes.
It's round.
I get what you're getting. It's rounded, yes.
And they tell you to hit it square.
Okay, yeah, and we like wrestling, and that's a squared circle. What's your point?
I'm trying to tell you. What's your number four?
Oh, okay. We're going to actually get back on topic. I got the Texans at four.
Pardon? Welcome back to Chair Shot NFL. Previously, you were listening.
The digression has stopped. The digression has stopped.
Previously, you were listening to a sketch bit from Pot is War.
Oops. We forgot what show it was. It happens, you know.
Old habits die hard.
They do. They do. But yeah, so I got the Texans at four. Like, they haven't looked fantastic. They found ways to win. You give the ball to CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud makes some magic happen. He definitely looks like he's got elements of, like, Mahomes. Because, like, if he's the last one to touch the ball, they're going to find a way to win. Or it's going to get damn close in case something stupid happens. But I can't argue with that, like, killer instinct too much, even if the games haven't all looked pretty.
I will go next just because Houston's my number three.
Okay.
Despite not having Joe Mixon, the fact that they have Cam Akers is huge
pretty
for them.
Good.
That dude is a fucking dog.
He's not as good of a power back as Mixon, but he's still fucking good.
And Ogunbowale can catch the ball, so they're pretty. Mm-hmm. They're still pretty good there. The biggest thing for them now moving forward, and it's a great win against the Buffalo Bills, who were, I don't know if they should have won the game, but they shouldn't have lost it in regulation. Let's just put it that way.
They shouldn't have thrown it three times in their end zone, basically.
Dumbass.
All three times, you were a dumbass. So, but on the Houston side, you are what your record says you are, and they're 4-1, and we all thought they were going to be a really good team this year. So, if you'd ask any team at the beginning of the season and the coach on, you know, Truth Serum, I'll give you 4-1 in your first five. They'll fuck it. Every single one of them take it, even Andy Reid.
True.
No doubt. Yeah. Who you got at three?
I got the Lions at three because of my bye week rule.
I figured. So I know who number 2-1 are for both of us then.
And they're going to be 2-1 next week because bye week rule for me at least. I don't know if you're going to change it.
I don't think I can. I don't think an undefeated teams, when you get down to there's only a couple now and it's been five games, so that's a pretty big, it's not a three-game window. It's not even a four-game window. It's a five.
And the Chiefs actually looked good in their last game too.
Yeah, I think the Saints were kind of figuring them out. I don't know if they're still a playoff contending team or not, but we'll see.
I didn't think they were going into the season. They're starting to look more like the team I thought they would be, where they'd be very much that 8-8. Well, it can't be 8-8 anymore, but you know what I mean. Like an 8-9, 9-8 team.
The most underrated thing in the NFL is Kansas City's defense, and it's only because of the fact that they play in Patrick Mahomes' shadow, but Chris Jones is fine with that, and that defense is really good. Like, they shut down Kamara. Kamara was, like, the biggest fantasy football points getter, and they shut him down. Thank you.
Let's not overreact.
Thank you, Chiefs. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
But let's also make sure we give some flowers to Flores, because, like, Vikings' defense made fucking Aaron Rodgers look terrible.
Well, look at...
Like, that was three picks, and some of them were Rodgers' fault. Some of the defense was just good.
And who's the... So, like, Spags, right? Spagnuolo in Kansas City, right?
It's still Spags, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Those are two of the best. They may not be great. They may never be... Maybe they couldn't... Some guys aren't head coaches, though. Some guys have been amazing coordinators. Some of the best ever, but they just...
Look at Romeo Crennel.
Just weren't good head coaches in the NFL.
Oh, I agree. Romeo Crennel comes to mind for me. You know, he was a great coordinator as a, you know, head coach, not so much. No, Salah, a lot of people are saying the same thing with him.
there's nothing any of these teams could do to move ahead of Kansas City or Minnesota next week with them being off for me. I agree.
I don't disagree.
Yeah. So, but Minnesota 2, Kansas City 1, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Kansas City is not getting unseated until they lose because they're the champs and they haven't beaten. So
I in my back of my mind, even if they tie, they don't.
Yeah, it's not a loss.
Okay, all right. You're with me on that quirk. I like that. Okay. That's great. I love it.
I mean, you got if you want to be the champ, to be the man, you got to beat the man. You can't tie the man.
Okay. we can deal with that. I mean,
I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
Cuidado, mucho cuidado, que estás tomando por un rumbo equivocado. Cuidado con tus mentiras, que yo las puedo adivinar cuando me miras. Cuidado,
mucho
cuidado, que estoy de vuelta cuando tú ni has comenzado.
We encourage you to take cuidado. Caution, that is.
Sí, mucho cuidado.
Because we're about to pick against the spread here.
Oh, no.
For week 6.
Oh, no.
And we're even going to double down on 3 of our picks each and call them our locks of the week. Week 6. As Andrew politely put it to cheer up his good friend PC Tunney, because he had COVID last week. Last week was our bye week. The NFL has bye weeks. That was our bye week.
Yay.
Lo siento, señores y señoritas.
Sí.
But we're ready to go this week. Unfortunately, Andrew's record seems to have a bit of the COVID going 0-3 2 weeks ago.
I took some risks, and they didn't work out.
His season record is 5-7. PC Tony went 2-1, another winning week for the PC Mania. And I am 7-5 on the year.
Flip. Look at that.
So, all right, let's get into it this week. We're going to run it down. We're starting with that Thursday night game. And I got to tell you, I've held true to what I've said about these on Amazon. Like, I haven't watched any of them. I'm not willing to commit to turning on Amazon Prime on a Thursday night at 8:15 Eastern time. Because when I turn Amazon on, it's streaming.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to change the channel. What channel am I changing it to?
Wait.
It's
your
streaming.
Reason for not watching streaming is because you can't flip away during commercials?
Right, because on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football or Thursday Night Football.
Uh-huh.
And it's not the Cheeseheads. I'm flipping. I'm checking in and checking out.
You not have a phone?
What, am I going to watch it on my phone?
Why don't you just, do something on your phone? Check Twitter. Check, I don't know, your social media of choice.
Actually,
play
a
phone game.
I just thought of an idea though. I can,
okay.
Because I do have the satellite goes into one input on the TV, and the PlayStation 5 goes into the other input on the TV.
That is accurate. I have a similar setup.
So I could just use the input button as a channel button.
And then what, just pause your game of Madden every 3 minutes or whatever? Every 10 minutes for 3 minutes?
I have 2 TVs out here. I could just hook the PlayStation up to the other TV. Change the HDMI cord.
You could do that, yes.
Okay, alright, I solved the problem. I'll probably watch this one then.
I was going to say, because you missed a good game last week.
Yeah,
the only reason I watched it is because TNA didn't actually have a show because last hurricane screwed that up.
Yeah, thank goodness I got my money in early on the Cowboys.
Yeah. That's mostly why I asked too, because I wasn't sure what you locked in on, because I knew it was close.
Yeah, that extra point that ended up costing a lot of people. It was exactly in between the line I had and the one that ended up at. So, all right, but this week, divisional matchup, out west, Seattle Seahawks hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Over under 49.5. The Niners favored on the road.
Sure.
Would be in
first, should be.
Would be in first place if they won the game.
Mm-hmm.
Given 3.5 points, what do you think?
I like the Niners more, only because of the fact that Seahawks last couple weeks, they don't really have much of an O-line. They don't have much of a D-line. They've been losing water, like, pretty consistently. And I don't really know what their deal is. As you already put, the Niners kind of went through this last year where everybody got banged up, so they looked a little soft at times. So I feel like the Niners can play through injuries and weird weakness better than the Seahawks can. Yeah, S-A-W-F-T. Soft. Yeah, yeah. This is PC Tunney. He always picks the Niners. And you can't teach that.
And I'm a Packers fan, born and bred in Wisconsin.
That's why you always pick the Niners, because they beat your ass every time it matters.
not in the 90s, my friend. Not in the 90s.
Well, it's not the 90s anymore. Tell that to the Cowboys, you know?
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Fair enough, Jera. Yeah, I think the Niners win this game. The Seahawks have progressed, unfortunately, in the wrong direction. To the fact to losing the game to the Giants at home is pretty bad. So yeah, I wouldn't suggest betting on the game, but if you had to, I'd say the Niners probably pull their shit together here in a divisional game. I think
I'm expecting under.
Yeah, who knows?
49? You think it's gonna be over 49? That would be like 26-24 to be over 49.
I mean, Jordan Mason with 5 rushing touchdowns would be great. Sincerely, my fantasy football team.
So how mad was your fantasy football team at that fumble?
It happens. I try not to pay attention while it's happening. I try to do stuff and just get into a different game. But yeah, I just go back and go, okay, well, that's what happened. I can't really change it. Mm-hmm. But you know what's funny here? I'll last thing on fantasy football before we move on to the early games on Sunday. And you play fantasy football, so you know this.
Mm-hmm.
The position of tight end this year, dog shit, worthless, meaningless, nothing.
It's painful.
After 5 weeks, and the person who leads the league in points at tight end fantasy wise has played 5 games. How many points has that person scored?
It's been as dog water as you're saying after 5 weeks. I'm going to say they've scored 24 points.
Mm-mm-mm. I mean, fantasy points.
That's what I meant.
Oh,
you
no.
said bad.
No, 66.
Oh, that's not that bad then.
That's horrible.
10 points, a little more, you know, like 12 points a game.
That's PPR, though.
Oh, it's a PPR league. Oh, I don't play PPR, so that's why I don't. Okay, yeah, you win that one.
You don't play PPR?
No.
It's like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something. You nerve-wracking sons of bitches.
I had the volume down, damn it.
It's like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something. You nerve-wracking sons of bitches.
Yeah.
Right. I don't play it seriously anymore.
Fair enough.
So I don't look for serious leagues. At most, the unserious ones are just, you know, typical, whatever the rule set is, where, you know, they don't count the reception, they just count the yards and the touchdowns, or the fumbles, or the interceptions, or yada yada.
Your brother texts me, I have to text him back.
You don't have to.
I do. I did. It's done.
Well, good for you.
It's over. It's over.
You're a nice guy like that.
And he mentioned, otherwise I gotta do it at some point. All right, let's get into the early Sunday games. And on my list, the Green Bay Packers show up first. They're hosting.
How do the Packers show up before the earliest game on Sunday?
Oh, they do because they're my favorite. They're a favorite.
Okay.
So the day, it goes by the day. So you're right. There is an earlier game. We won't go with the Packers first. We'll go to the early game first. And
the fucking like 8 or 9 in the morning, depending on where you're at, kind of game.
And Europe gets a banger here. Jacksonville and the Chicago Bears. The Bears
always get the Jaguars, though. I feel bad for them for these games.
Bears are favored by 2. I think the Bears win here. I don't have it as a lock. I wouldn't suggest betting at all on these London games unless you like the unders.
I think America wins because we torture England one more time. So that's okay. Too bad we can't play this on like July 4th. That'd be the ultimate celebration.
Is this one in England, though? Or is this
it's in London?
Like is this a Germany game?
No. It is not week 9. Yep. It
right.
is not
nine. That's right. Nine. I forgot. That's great. No, this one's at Tottenham Stadium in London.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so too bad we can't play this on July 4th. That'd be great. Yeah. That'd be a wonderful way to just celebrate the Independence Day, you know? Torture London.
Packers and Cardinals. Early afternoon games. We can move on
good.
To that one.
You knew I wasn't going to pick a lock with that one. That's just a shit show. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Bears will probably win, but who cares?
That's what I would say, yeah. Go DJ Moore. Packers favored by 5 at home against the Cardinals here, over under 47.5. How does your unbiased Packer opinion here feel?
I don't know. Jordan Love has been playing bad this year. He throws picks like his name is Jameis Winston. And it's rough. Like, if your defense wasn't stepping up at times, and yeah, I think I'm going to actually just, if your defense wasn't stepping up at times, I think these games would be completely out of reach. Because Jordan has not looked like he did at the end of last season. Like, he's regressed. I don't know if it's him still coming back from the injury or just in a way a sophomore slump, because I know it's like his 5th year in the league, but it's only his 2nd year starting, so like, you get what I'm saying. So, and the Cardinals are very up and down too, so 5 is a lot of points to give to a team that's streaky and got blown out like 28-0 at halftime a couple weeks ago. Sorry, it was 28-7.
I think the Packers win. I think they win.
They cover?
Yeah. I'm not picking a lock on it, but I would say the Packers.
Oh, I'm not picking a lock either.
Yeah, like 99-0.
Yeah. I you said it was 5 or 5.5?
5. You're thinking about taking the Cardinals, aren't you?
I am.
Wow, don't do it. The Packers are going to win this game. I can feel it.
I'm not doubting the Packers winning. I'm just doubting their ability to win by 5 because they haven't had a dominating win, really. They've either had a game where they pissed away points and then had to come back and almost pull it off, or, you know, they just lose. So, I don't know. I'll take the Cardinals with the points just because, but no lock. So, like, no real stake in the game. But, like, 5 is a lot for a team that hasn't shown me anything yet.
Possible game of the week, a real good test for the Commanders and their young quarterback, Jaden Daniels, on the road at Baltimore. Ravens favored by 6.5.
Mm-hmm. And this is my first lock.
Really?
And I'm going with the Commies.
Oh, wow.
Give me the points and the Commies. And I think it's going to be over 52.5. Like, I like the way the Commies are playing football. I like the fact that they haven't really had any egregious issues. And the Ravens still, they almost choke away everything. Like, they could easily be an 0-5 team instead of, 2-3 or 3-2, wherever the fuck they're at now.
Are you locking in the Commanders with the points?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And, yeah, lock. So, okay. lock of the week.
You're not locking in an over-under here, right?
Oh, no. Okay. Not locking in the over-under, just locking in the Commies with the points.
We can. No one has yet this season. We can.
I know. But, I remember how we did it last year.
Okay. No, I'm just explaining it to the listenership. You know, we just gotta explain.
Are you
stuff.
Foreshadowing in case you're going to actually lock in?
No,
an over-under?
I'm going. You.
No. Do not look behind the curtain for the man. No.
I'm going completely against the winningest trend in NFL betting this season for my entire pick session this week.
Oh, nice. Okay, it's fun.
So once you figure out what that is, you let me know.
Okay.
Because there's one trend that's won you a lot of money if you've played it this year so far.
I mean, I usually don't do well in these locks anyway, so just pick against me and you'll probably end up with a positive record. So.
That's not the trend I'm talking about. Let's move on.
It's the trend I'm talking about. I'm the trend. That's how this works.
I don't know who's going to win this game. I would like to say if I had to pick, I would pick Baltimore just because they're at home and it's a young quarterback, but this would be a big win. Big statement for Jaden Daniels if he can go to Baltimore and beat Lamar Jackson in that defense. I know it's not, they've lost a couple guys from the last couple years, but they're still a really good football team.
Oh, yeah, the Ravens are still a solid team. I'm not taking that away from them, but, like, they haven't looked like the Ravens that we know of from the last couple years.
Sure.
Games are too close. They've let games slip away. They've nearly let games slip away if it wasn't for Zach Taylor being the worst fucking coach in football. Or McDermott, we'd have to let that poll happen. But, you know.
Dumbass.
Thank you. So, yeah, it's rough. But 6.5 is too fucking many for the Ravens that haven't proven anything to me. And the Commies have a better record and have looked better in general, too. So, like, I'm really curious where this spread comes from.
Texans-Patriots. This game is in New England.
Stop it.
But the Texans are favored by a touchdown, 7 points, over under 38, because maybe people think that the Texans won't give up any points. I am locking in Houston -7 on the road at New England as my first lock of the week.
I don't disagree. It's not a lock for me because, well, I don't ascribe to raise. It's disrespectful when it gets over a certain number. Like, the Texans have played close games against everybody. So they haven't shown me anything that even against a bad team that they'll just blow the doors off of them. So blow the doors off the Patriots and at least prove to me that, you know, you can still do it. Because they've gotten their doors blown off by the Vikings, but they haven't really done the same back. So prove it.
The Belaz Buccaneers head to New Orleans to take on the New Orleans Saints here.
Mm-hmm.
Big game, I'd say, for the Bucs divisionally, right? Like to get the two games over 500, another division win, especially one on the road here. Bucs favored by 3.5 over under 41.5. How much you believe in your team this weekend, sir?
I mean, if we lose to Spencer Rattler, I'm going to be angry.
Is that their backup?
I'm pretty sure that's who's getting the start because Taysom is technically a tight end listed on the depth chart at the moment.
Well, he didn't even play last week.
Oh, and I know Taysom's been dinged up. I don't know where he's at injury wise.
No, Rattler's but I think two. Rattler's two, Haener's three.
Yeah, but I think Taysom is actually listed as a tight end on their depth chart. So. I don't know how that would work if they'd have to shift people around and move somebody down or blah.
I don't think it matters. So they're just he's tight end and he plays quarterback for it. So who gives a shit? It'd be like you just ran the running back out there to play a fucking quarterback. What's the difference?
I wonder if you can actually do that. Because the rules are weird.
No, I think with the whole thing about it.
Quarterbacks you can have on the roster, the emergency QB stuff.
It thinks it's just the emergency QB guys. So basically, you can carry three quarterbacks, and they all count towards your 53-man roster. Or you can carry two quarterbacks and designate an emergency quarterback, which means that if someone gets hurt, both guys get hurt, you can bring in your emergency quarterback, but neither of those other two guys can come back in the game.
Okay.
Pretty still sure though, that's the rule.
Still, though, if the Bucs can't beat Spencer fucking Rattler, I'm going to be angry.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird game. We'll see if Carr plays or not. We're not sure if he's going to play.
It's an oblique injury. I don't think he's playing through that.
Has he
right
been ruled out already? Oh, yeah. IR stint likely, it says.
Mm-hmm. So I think the Saints' chances of playoffs, not only because they've looked more like what we expected them to look like, but now because there's no Carr, like, I think that just drastic go down, as Scott Steiner would say.
Unlikely. Unlikely.
Yeah, you never know. A lot of people have played with unlikely designations at the point that we record this. You know, Justin Jefferson was unlikely with his quad issue, then he played, and then I think Vita Vea was unlikely after he missed the
It's a
Eagles game, and then he played anyways. It's like, okay.
It's a game time decision right now, but Spencer Rattler looks like the guy who would go over the second year Jake Haener.
Yeah, which if it's Rattler, I don't see why the Bucks lose that game, even with, you know, a papier-mâché defense.
Fair enough. All right, Cleveland heading a little bit east to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, coming off of a bye. Cleveland's bad. Eagles are coming off of a bye. They're given 9. I'm locking them in. Give me the Philadelphia Flying Eagles to take care of Cleveland by double digits. PC Tunney lock of the week, number 2.
God, you're really going for the layups here. Okay, I guess that's what you mean by against whatever the trend is, because there's been a lot of upsets lately.
So. I believe that, I don't know the stat, but spreads of 6 or more than 6 this year, like, astounding winning percentage. I'm not sure how many there's been, and I don't remember, but, like, only twice has a spread of more than 6 been covered this year.
It's probably because it's been a field goal bonanza and no one scoring touchdowns, because, you know, the cover 2 is evil and needs to be outlawed.
Right, but the big favorites aren't winning big. They're not covering those spreads. So true. I am going to buck that trend this week and say it's the law of averages. I am picking with all the big spreads this week. I am taking big favorites, my second big favorite. Actually, I'm taking the 3 biggest spreads of the week. Laying the lumber. This is Tunney, okay. Laying lumber, week 6 in Cleveland's bad.
Do you have a local lumber house you would like to, you know, shout out for the plug?
PC's Pine Pluckers.
Okay, I like that, actually. Not only because of the alliteration, but it's just nice that it kind of works out nicely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know how I felt about the Eagles. The Eagles suck. The Eagles are not a good team. And I'm pretty sure every game is proven. The Eagles are not a good team. But the Browns are worse. So, the Eagles will win. Will they win by 8.5? Maybe not. Or 9, sorry, that's what you said the thing was. But, yeah, I don't like them by 9, but I think they're going to win straight up, because the Browns are garbage.
Yeah, definitely. All right, last early afternoon game on Sunday. Boy, we don't probably need to take more time than it's going to take for me to announce this one. The Colts.
Jose Fleco wins.
Colts on the Colts at Titans.
Jose.
Titans minus 2.5. Yeah, I would take
Jose. Jose, I would take Fleco right now. Lock it. My second lock.
Are you
Jose
locking Fleco. Us in? Really?
Jose, give me Jose.
Wow. Colts minus 2.5. He's doing it.
Jose Fleco.
At Tennessee. Yeah, the guy just gets off his couch and throws touchdown passes, eh?
He couldn't do that with the Jets, but he can do it with everybody else. That's the best part.
Well, we're beginning to see that the Jets team and organization is a more difficult problem than even future Hall of Famers can navigate.
That's very true. That's just fucking hilarious. But yeah, it's Flacco time.
All right, we'll find out if Andrew is trusting one former Delaware Hen alumnus, Joe Flacco, takes flight.
Delaware is only like 1.5 hours away from me, so like I gotta take my boy.
Oh, what did Delaware boys? Oh, what did Delaware? Do you want to know what
something classy?
Do you want to know what Della wore? She wore her New Jersey. Boys, she wore her New Jersey. That's what Della wore. She wore her New Jersey.
But where did Mary land?
Oh, no. Idaho. What did Idaho? She hoed her Mary land. Yes, she
oh,
did.
That's what it is. Okay. That's, and for anybody that's still listening, I apologize.
Oh, man. Let's get into them late afternoon games. Big, big divisional matchup. Big head coaching matchup. Sean Payton at home with his Broncos hosting the Los Angeles Chargers and the Fighting Harbaughs. Both teams at and above 500, respectively. Chargers favored, though, in this game. -3, over under 35.5.
I mean, the defenses are the better things for both teams.
This is a game I would just run from. Like, who wants to root for under 35 and a half for fucking 3 hours?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not saying it's something I would bet on, but it should be a decent game. Like,
I
talked up the Broncos a little bit because I jumped them into 10th place, so
yeah,
that's saying something. But I don't know. The Chargers have been so banged up. Like, it's so... Like, when they look good, they look good, but then they've been hurt, so it's hard to really see where they're coming in. They come off a bye. Maybe people got healthy. Maybe they start looking right. I'd like to say the Chargers are going to win this game. Like, I feel like I like the Chargers more as a team. But, you know, if Herbert's just going to have that high ankle sprain or whatever that's going to just bug him all year, one bad hit, suddenly he's gone, and they bring in, you know, good old Heineken keg can. Like, I don't really know. So
here's the thing. The Denver Broncos roster is not a bad roster. And if they can kind of click in with Sean Payton, I mean, what will you think about a 4-2 Broncos team if they win this game?
That definitely would warrant the fact that I jumped them into the top 10 just for niceties.
Yeah, but at the same time, we're looking at the Chargers going, man, if Justin Herbert is healthy and in there, John Harbaugh gets his paws going on there. I mean, J.K. Dobbins looks amazing, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Was Bosa hurt, too, like a week or two ago?
That I am unaware of, but I would not want to touch any part of this game spread-wise, over-under-wise. Just seems a difficult thing to do here.
Oh, he opened the week, did not participate in practice. So, yeah, I think Bosa is dinged up. I don't know if that means he'll just be game time, but or he'll be partial throughout the week. But
thing too is of it nowadays, a lot of the better players, a lot of the more tenured players too, that don't necessarily need all the reps. The rest over the reps is better for them once they get into the season too. So missing practice isn't a big deal for a lot of those guys.
You say that, but have you noticed that like crazy serious injuries are like up last few years?
Well,
I've been kind of curious what the reasoning for that is. If it's the not thinking they need as many reps, or if it's the focus on lean muscle and being like overly athletic so that they don't have the cushion, like any like fat on their body to like kind of absorb some of this punishment, like some of the, say, 90s athletes did, where you could see 90s athletes get fucking spun around and destroyed and they'd get back up and they might have had their bell rattled, but they'd be fine. But it's not so many ACL, PCL, you know, ligament tears and all this other weird, you're out for 8 weeks or the entire season or something like that.
I think there's a little bit of that mixed in with everybody's bigger, faster, stronger, mixed in with a more precautionary society as well. I think it's a lot of both of that, a lot of all three of those things.
I mean, I don't disagree. I just it's an interesting way to look at it because, sure, like you say, they're bigger, faster, stronger, but maybe they shouldn't be.
Well, no,
like, maybe
they
should
I get
be
that.
A little.
No, I get that.
You know,
right.
Softer,
but
dumpier,
the guy,
whatever word you want to throw in there.
But the guy who evolves though and gets to go gets more money though. You know what I mean? So.
True, but how does that really work out when then your leg falls off or whatever and you're injured for 2 years? Did the contract really, was that nice when then suddenly you can't play anymore?
God gave you two legs.
Shit, you're right.
Steelers and Raiders. Steelers traveling cross country to take on the Las Vegas Raiders, but they're favored by 3, over under 36.5. I mean, a lot of drama with the
Raiders.
Yeah.
Crosby stuff, is that what you want to talk about?
I don't really want to talk about it. I just thought I'd mention it as a reason for why. I think Antonio Pierce's days are numbered. I don't know how many more games this team really wins this year. I definitely think the Steelers rebound and get a victory here.
I don't think Pierce is inherently the problem, but I think he'll definitely be cut just as not stopping the inmates from running the asylum or whatever the issue is, because it's always something every week with the Raiders. Either Devontae doesn't want to be there, but Devontae didn't want to be there when they were filming receivers last year. Like, as soon as Carr got let go, you know Devontae didn't want to be there.
Right.
So like Devontae being disgruntled, Max Crosby being annoyed, and because people were just talking shit, which I just thought it was funny that he mentioned the Pat McAfee show, but you'd know he didn't talk about Pat in that whole clip. He was talking about somebody that only gets to go on there once and talks like he knows what the fuck he's talking about, which he's actually talking about Michael Lombardi. And it's funny just to hear him like name drop just because he knows it's going to get buzz on Twitter, just to kind of bury someone else without actually burying it so he can't get fined. It's genius in a way, you know what I mean?
Sometimes you find that loophole and you're able to execute that move, you know what I mean?
He's pretty good at finding holes in defenses and stuff like that and executing things, so probably shouldn't fuck with Max Crosby too much.
Did you hear Tomlin's quote after the game when they were asking him about the loss and everything?
No, I didn't.
He said, he just told the gentleman in the locker room or something like that. He goes, there's a very fine line in this league between squishing grapes and drinking wine. And like, just picture Mike Tomlin pissed off, looking to like being serious as fuck and answering a question and just saying that. Because the crazy thing about it is that team could be 5-0 real easy, right? You have a 3-point loss to Indy, which should have never happened. They shouldn't be losing to the Colts, you know, and then, you know, you lose the game, this one, the way you lost it. Not great.
You're right. They could be 5-0, but that's also, they'd be 5-0 98% based off their defense. And I think the one reason they lost to the Colts was the fact that I think it was either the Colts or the Cowboys. I forget because it all kind of runs together. But like TJ Watt didn't get to the quarterback very much in one of those games.
Colts.
So I thought it was the Colts. I just didn't want to like, you know, double down on that one. But so it's like when the defense doesn't play completely lights out and just fucking destroy somebody, then it shows the offense isn't that good. I mean, that's not going to be a problem this game. The Steelers should beat the shit out of the Raiders like they owe them money. But like, you never know if for some reason, like, is AOC getting the start? Or are they giving Minshew one more shot after benching him after the picks?
Let me be honest with you, because we're friends. Haven't really been keeping up with the Las Vegas Raiders quarterbacking situation.
Why not? Don't you like Aiden O'Connell? I mean, okay, so Aiden O'Connell was named the starter for week 6.
Okay, yeah, I like the Steelers.
Yeah, so do I. I was trying to find an angle because the Raiders aren't a terrible team on paper. They're just dysfunctional as fuck, and they can't get their shit together long enough to actually get wins together. Ever since the fucking John Gruden getting let go fiasco and the, what was it, Rick Bisaccia, was that his name?
Yeah.
Like, ever since that whole fucking folly, like, that team has been fucking mess.
Let's look at it this way. The Raiders, lucky, they beat the Browns. Cool, at home.
Everybody beats fine. The Browns.
And the Ravens totally disintegrated against them in the second half of that game for some reason. So, like, they really look like it could be like a very defeated team. Speaking of defeated teams, the Panthers are hosting the Falcons. Boy, would this be a step on your dick game if the Falcons ended up losing this one after the big win the week before. I don't think that's going to happen. The Falcons are -6 on the road at the Panthers. I expect them to win by 106. Locking it down, laying the third largest line of the week. PC's Lumber Lot. That's what we're talking about. Atlanta -6 on the road at Carolina. Nah.
See, big Captain Kirko, you know, he does tend to get his dick stepped on by some stupid fucking games sometimes. Like, he has lost games where he had no business losing them because he just has a fucking terrible game.
Here's the thing, though. It's an extra long rest week for Atlanta, having played Thursday the week before. So it's like coming off of a half a bye, which has got to increase percentages. It's not
a
long
trip.
Is that
good or bad for that team?
It's not a long trip. And they're playing Carolina!
The Carolina Panthers have at least looked like they have life with Dalton.
They just lost to the Bears, and Bryce Young made it into the game.
Because it was a blowout, but I didn't say they looked good. I
said
they
looked
like they had life.
To the Bears.
Life.
Bears.
They won a game.
Bears. Dalton.
They almost won two games.
They beat the Raiders, didn't they?
Was it the Raiders that they beat? Now,
yeah.
Now you're making me look at the Panthers' fucking wins. Ugh. They beat...
Yeah, they lost.
Yeah, it was the Raiders.
They're fucking... Come on, dude. Let's not... They're horrible. They're the worst team in the league.
I'm not saying that they're a good team. I'm just saying that they at least have some life. And last year, when they were the worst team, I'm pretty sure they beat the Falcons once.
Okay, well, I'm going 3-0 this week. I'm telling you right now, people.
You might be. I'm just saying. Like, I still think the Falcons are going to win, too. But, like, this would be the epitome of the perfect choke game for fucking Kirk and the Falcons. Like, it's just, it's a trap game. And Kirk falls into traps once in a while.
Another possible.
It's the Kobayashi Maru of Captain Kirk's fucking season this year. Let's find out if he can beat it.
I would say this is the game of the week here. Lions.
I hope you're talking about Lions Cowboys.
Lions and Cowboys.
Oh, thank God. Because if you were looking at any of the other two games, I'm like, no. I disagree.
Between that and Commanders Ravens are probably the two best games of the week that people are anticipating, I would imagine.
I agree with that.
I feel totally confident in the Lions going into Dallas and beating them. Like, the Lions can run the football. I know Dallas played good against the run last week, but I just don't see it happening again.
You actually said something nice about the Lions this season. Wow, look at you. Because you're wearing something that's like blue, so you're feeling a little more... You know, I see it's not a Lions shirt, but it's blue at least. So are you feeling a little nicer to Detroit?
It's Kurt Angle. It's true. It's true.
It is true. So are you just feeling nicer? Because you've been low on the Lions compared to a lot of people. Not just compared to me, but just general scuttlebutt about the Lions. You came in very low. What is kind of turned the corner, or do you just like them that much more than
Cowboys? When you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
I got a fever, and the only remedy is more kneecaps.
Okay, just checking. Are you just that low on the Cowboys, or are you finally coming around at the Lions?
I don't think either of those things are really the thing. I think I just haven't been as high on the Lions as you have. They're a really good football team. I just believe in a handful or so more other teams than them. I had them tied for fifth this week in the top five.
The highest I think you've had them all year.
The Cowboys are just...
The Cowboys.
Yeah,
that's all you have to say. I think everybody that watches football understands that statement, it's circular.
The Lions can lose this game is if Jared Goff turns the ball over.
Which could happen. That's how the Buccaneers won that game.
That's it. Otherwise, if he's got one or less turnovers, they're winning this game.
Sure. I don't disagree with you. It's just, like I said, it's the first time I can... actually like just think like, oh, you said something kind of nice and complimentary towards the Lions, like, wow, took you 6 weeks, but you got there. Nice.
You're welcome.
Thank you
Who do you got winning this game?
Not the Lions.
Fair enough. New Jersey Central, is that how you feel about Detroit?
It's Motor City. It's a big fan of Motor City Machine Guns, Motor City, you know. Detroit's got to win.
All right. Fair enough.
Kevin Nash said so.
Sunday Night Football? Bungles Giants. NBC's got to be loving that matchup.
Nobody wins. Why didn't this get flexed away?
I don't think they can flex this early in the season.
Why not?
I think the Bengals, like, just... murder the Giants here. Like, if you're looking for a game to go ahead and, you know, I mean, they're -3.5. If you're looking for a game to kind of just have fun with, this could be your double up to catch up or putting the cherry on the Sunday after a good day Sunday of betting. I mean, I really like the Bengals here. It would be my fourth lock of the week. They're -3.5, especially with the Giants coming off of a a win. And who didn't see them throwing the ball to Darius Slayton all fucking week last week? It's the only goddamn receiver they had. It's the only guy they had to cover.
The Bengals did the same thing with Ja'Marr Chase. He had 193 yards and two touchdowns.
Darius Slayton is not Ja'Marr Chase, sir.
I mean, it's the same kind of thing. Like, hey, just feed it to that guy. He's open down there somewhere. It's like the old Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins fucking meme from a couple years ago. He's like, I can't see, but he's open down there somewhere. Boom. Okay, there you go.
It's like when Jay Cutler was in Denver and he threw it to Brandon Marshall all the time.
Yes.
21 receptions, exactly. NFL record. Tell me you got the Bengals here. Come on, you know you do.
Objectively. I think
you're really trying to prove a point. You could care less who wins Weapon of the Week as long as Zach Taylor wins Dumbass of the Week this year.
Yes, exactly. Correct. But objectively, I think the Bengals are a better team. I want to watch them lose, though. I hate everything Zach Taylor did in those fucking 90 seconds of overtime, whatever the fuck it was, because he made the worst decisions in the smallest fucking window of time possible. I fucking don't want to see the Bengals win a game for the rest of the year.
I think that's come across loud and clear today.
He's an idiot. He deserves to be fired.
Monday Night Football, we head back to another divisional matchup, AFC East style. The 3-2 Bills head to New Jersey to take on the Jets at MetLife Stadium. Bills -2 only.
Mm-hmm. I've got the Jets as my third lock of the week.
Do you?
I've only got two so far.
I think the Jets win this game, to be honest with you. I don't know why. It
always happens after a coaching change. Like, the teams always come out hot. They always come out trying to prove a point. They try to win one for the new guy. And I have not been high on the Bills all year. They started off hot. You kind of made that joke about how, oh, well, I think when I said something like they started off too well or something like that, you're like, I hate when people say they started off too well.
Yeah, like, you want to win them
but
all.
But now look, their dumbasses have lost two in a row because they suck. It's an inflated fucking sense
Fine,
of self.
Fine, but not because they fucking started off too hot.
But it's an inflated sense of worth. That's my point, and that's the exact concept of you started off too hot.
Maybe, like, I'm just used to being able to handle success and sustain it personally, that I expect other higher entities to be able to do the same thing.
That doesn't happen in Buffalo. Ask Dominic Hasek.
It's fair. I'm talking about Buffalo.
Yeah, I know. That's my point. So, yeah, I got the Jets as my third lock just because I think they'll play hard for Ulbrich. I think they'll prove a point, and I don't think the Bills are as good as everybody was saying for the first couple weeks. I think we're finally starting to see what they are.
Well, we're going to find out Monday night there. Jets win. They're in first place in the division still. Bye week this week.
First place, sheesh.
Bye week this week, Chiefs, Dolphins, Rams, Vikings. Very much two really good teams and two not so great teams.
Two teams aren't moving in my top five next week. That's all that means. It's easier work for me.
All right, Andrew, we did it again. Another great show here, Chairshot NFL. Barring any more COVID outbursts, we should be here every week this year. Sorry about that, folks. Andrew, let everybody know what's going on with you. How's the TNA world going?
Well, if TNA's world wasn't turned upside down because of, I think it was Hurricane Helene last time for their tapings, then there would have been a show last week, but instead they did some kind of, like, Bound for Glory clip show thing, which I don't clever clip shows. Like, that's stupid.
No,
like,
but
if you want to watch highlights, go on YouTube.
Right, but if they needed to do something to kind of make ends meet because of circumstances, like, it makes
sense. Well, if they had to just fill the time slot because of requirements, yes, I'm not...
I understand.
Begrudging them.
You're explaining the lack of coverage, and you're not covering
Correct.
That. Yeah, I got you. My
yes.
Bad.
It's kind of like what they've done for the last few years for, like, Christmas time. Like, they usually just run best of shows. I'm
sure.
Not going to cover a best of show.
No, I got
if
you.
They do, like, a goofy theme, like, Thanksgiving show, maybe. If they do, like, the IPW or, like, the Impact Pro, like, throwback goofy fucking one they did, I'd cover that because it's at least funny. It's at least something to cover that's unique and real content, not just a clip show. But aside from that, it should be interesting because shit, now there's another hurricane down in Florida. So I don't know when their tapings are, if they already taped or how that whole thing is working. So
yeah,
yeah. Fucking A. We'll see if there's even a TNA show for the next couple weeks, but Bound for Glory could be interesting. Xia Li did just debut her new gimmick, 2 weeks ago, technically, but at the last real show. Lei Ying Li, I think this is the name of the character, which means like Shadow Thunder in Mandarin. This is kind of very similar to what we remember her from for WWE. It's kind of that cool Mortal Kombat kind of look and martial arts focused offense still. But she looked fine. Should be interesting to see where she slots in. The Hardys are probably going to get a tag title shot. So that should be interesting to see how that shakes out. Still don't know who's going to be the big bad for Jordan Grace to face when it comes to the knockouts division, but we'll see. She's currently feuding with like Rosemary and Wendy Chu and a couple other TNA people. So should be interesting how that all shakes out, but it's interesting, but the lack of the episode last week is weird because Bound for Glory is in 3 weeks now. So losing a week is kind of rough for the build. You know what I mean?
Sure. Continuity wise, I get it.
Mm-hmm. But sure. Should be okay, technically.
Fair enough. All right, brother, let's get out of here. Tell everybody where they can find you.
On the Twitter, IWC Warchief. Very easy. TNA coverage on thechairshot.com. Pretty straightforward. Or, you know, Chairshot NFL show, too. This thing you're listening to.
You are.
That simple. Pretty easy.
We are in your earballs. Continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms. You guys know. You can find me all over that. Follow me. Oh, my goodness. Well, good thing that didn't play, because that's not what I wanted to play. This is what I wanted to play. Follow me at PC Tunney. Don't forget to follow us on this show at Chairshot NFL. Vote in our polls. Weapon of the Week. Dumbass of the Week. We'll catch you next week.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.